You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will.
Put some pep in that step.
Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Will.
And I'm JC.
What are you listening to?
You're listening to Dude.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Mr. Crumb.
It's just us two. We don't have a big celebrity like James G.
No, we don't.
That sexy man.
He is. And that's why we got him on the pod. Here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed a pattern about our guest, but we don't ask ugly people on the podcast.
No.
Only the sexiest of people.
The sexiest of the sexy. I mean, it's very difficult to break in. Break past the sexy glass ceiling, if you will, that me and Will have created.
You know, Brad Pitt actually once called us a couple months ago and he said, "Hey guys, Braddy P here. Can I get on the pod?" And we go,
"No, I said."
Here's the thing, Mr. Pitt.
This was like,
it's nothing personal, but you look like a dog's ass.
If this was like 15 years ago, maybe if we're talking, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brad, but like,
age isn't on your side, Brad. I'm sorry.
He is a sexy man, though. That guy is unbelievably hot. How old is he? Like 60? Is he like 60?
I think he's only like 5-4 years younger than our parents.
That's insane.
He's dude, he's 3 years younger than my dad.
I mean, Bob looks great, but you know. Sure. Yeah, it's
Bob's aging fine. You know what? My dad for 65
looks great.
He's doing great. But he's not. I mean, Brad Pitt, he drinks the blood of the living or something. I don't know what's going on with him.
It's insane. By the way, I'm really sorry. One of the reasons I was late was we're doing bath time, right? And it's so funny because my wife sort of like, you know, we were in the grocery store and I saw, you know, like the like giveaway aisle almost sort of thing. You're like you're on the way out and there's like that aisle of just misfit things that's there. And what did I see? I got super excited. It was the tablets. They look like little pills and you put them in the water and they turn into the sponges or whatever.
You got them, I hope.
Oh yeah, I did. And my wife kind of rolled her eyes like, all right, get them. And let me tell you, who was the MVP of bath time? This guy, and I was having a ball. They're awesome. I'm like, oh, kid, what is this going to be a Stegosaurus? I don't know what this color is going to be. It's exciting.
You know, with all the technology we have nowadays, it's still things like that can get you excited. You're like, I definitely want to see this. Like, it's still magical.
Like, the growing people are cool, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they always get me excited. Like, I would get so excited waking up. Like when I used to have those and I would put them in the water and you'd wait, like you'd wake up in the morning. And of course you'd go, you know, run to the bathtub if you put it in the bathtub or in the sink or whatever. And just to see it like, oh my God, it's starting to like become gigantic.
You know what you need to do? Okay. So I'm going to come to Pennsylvania in about a month. We should buy like 20 of those. Put them all in our underpants and get into the bathtub and see what happens.
Well, it takes a long time, Will.
What's long time? Like 2-3 minutes?
No. So first of all, hold on. Do we have to make a distinction here? There's a couple different things. We're talking about multiple things here. Those little pills that turn into sponges.
Yes. I know what you're...
That's one thing. But, like, the growing things, like, the things that you have to... You put in that, like, start out, like, it's a dinosaur that's, like, this big. And then, like, those take, like, 24 to 48 hours to become, like, their full growth. Because I remember we had this frog one time. And it went from, like, literally, like, an inch long to, like, 2 feet. It was wild.
So what is it, water that makes that thing grow? Do you have to put it in water?
It's a super absorbent sponge or some sort of material, but like it only absorbs it absorbs liquid at a very slow rate, I guess.
So what you're saying is we have to wait for a really hot day when we're going to be sweaty in the pants. Put one of those in our pants and see what happens.
Or we could literally just be in a body of water for days and days, like David Blaine or something like that, and then we could see what the results are of those sponges. Sure.
David Blaine's missing a great opportunity. I'm going to now stick 300 of these pills into my pen and see them grow.
The pills for the little fish men or whatever, the little scuba men that grows 20 times their size, or frog or T-Rex or whatever the hell he decides to do. Yeah, no, he's definitely missing out. Because I would sit there and watch. Dude, I've been going down some weird YouTube rabbit holes recently, so I'm sure I would watch something like that.
I would too. What do you think? Like, what's that video where he did the hot air balloon? He's like, I'm gonna hold on to, or the balloons. Like, I'm gonna hold on to these balloons and float. And it was a very rigged situation, yeah, where it's like he's clearly like strapped to it. What's something that he would do that like would like really surprise you? Like,
well, didn't he freeze himself? He did freeze himself, I believe.
Oh, I don't know.
I think he did do that. I mean, I know he tried. He was underwater with a breathing apparatus, I believe, for a certain amount of time. I think he did try to freeze himself. Yeah, I think he did try to freeze himself. And I think he went crazy. I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 63 hours he was frozen.
I think he went blind multiple times during that. That's not, your body is not supposed to be frozen. It's not good. I don't know. Maybe if he like, I mean, somehow it would be crazy if he like lived with like a pack of animals or something like that. Like, and like amongst like a, I don't know. Maybe he for a year lived with like a flock of sheep. And he dressed up as a sheep, and like that was the big, I don't know, that was the big reveal. And I'd be like, okay, like we can see like day 45, how's it going? Like living amongst the sheep.
That would be pretty funny.
So I just heard this, I was listening to the news. So have you heard the story about the astronauts that are like stuck?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
So there are these astronauts that like were supposed to be up, I think they were gonna go up into space and maybe at one point dock with the International Space Station for like, I think like 8 to 10 days, right?
Okay.
They were also testing some sort of new rocket, I believe, and like it didn't, like they found errors, so they were like, oh no, like you guys could die if we try to bring you back. Like, it's safer for you to stay up there.
So they're gonna send them their rocket ship up there?
Will. They were supposed to be back in like a week or two. They've been up there since June.
Oh no!
Yeah.
How are they eating?
I mean, I think they're at the
intense rationing.
No, I think the International Space Station, like, I think there's enough, like, between the world, I guess there's enough food and other people coming and going that like they're okay.
So if you have a family, it's like, honey, I'm going to be home in about 2 weeks. I'm going to be fine. I'll be home for the anniversary. And you think, like, when he comes back, she's going to be like,
I'm not sure. You're going to come back and there's going to be some other gentleman who's going to introduce himself to you and be like,
hello, I am your children's new father.
I am your children's new father. Dude, like, you're also an astronaut, which is like, I'm sorry, that is like one of the coolest things you could possibly be.
It's
though.
A baller job, for sure.
I would say, like, what's cooler than being an astronaut?
Well, here's the thing. I was going to say, hold on. I'm going to look up how much, sorry, hold on.
Well, I think they make a lot more money. Like, I don't think you, like, make a ton of money as an astronaut. I think it's like, you afterwards, you, like, can write a book, or, like, you can, like, it's one of those things where, like, you could go and, like, speak at conferences for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like, you're an astronaut, for God's sakes. Maybe I'm wrong. I think astronaut trumps professional athlete of any professional. I think there's only a few types of professional athletes that can go. Like, I'm saying if you had, average professional athlete career, even if you're like in the NBA, if you're in the MLB or whatever, like, and you're not a perennial all-star, I would say astronaut kind of trumps that.
Yeah, but think about this. Let's say you are a fairly okay pitcher, right? And you're a relief pitcher. And say you have a 10-year career. Maybe even an 8-year career. You've probably amassed a very healthy living.
But I'm not talking money. That's one of the jobs. I'm not talking money here. I'm talking just
like, all the perks that come with it. You get to travel to 30 different cities. You get a great conditioning coach. You get free food. You get probably really great healthcare. Like, dude, you're made in the shade.
There's like 50 astronauts a year. Like 50.
Yeah, but think about how lonely that would be to go into space after a while.
I'm just saying how badass. Like, you're a badass.
Oh, no. Listen, if I went to a party with a professional baseball player or astronaut, I'm probably going to want to talk to the astronaut.
Like that. Yeah, you're going to, like, but it's rare because, like, how often in life, like, for example, like, you can go with, like, a CEO or so. It's like, I don't care. Like, this. But boring. Who cares, CEO? Like, screw you. Like, yeah, I'm sure you're making tons of money. You probably got some interesting stories. I don't want to talk to you. I'd rather talk to the athlete, right? The athlete's more interesting. But the astronaut, whew, like...
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you're at a party and there's an astronaut,
yes.
What's the one question you're going to ask him?
Oh, bathroom stuff, for sure.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, what's it like to pee in space, dude?
All that stuff. All the body stuff. Like, that's the stuff I want to know, to be honest with you.
What's it like to sleep in space?
Like...
Is it a good night's sleep?
Yeah.
Is it rough?
Yeah. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to know. I want to know, too, like... Dude, like, you're... I want to know... I also want to know a little bit of tea. Like... Listen, you're up there? Like, what's going on? Is there a little drama on board the International Space Station?
And here's the other thing. I know this is a family-friendly podcast, but what's it like to make love in space?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was alluding to, brother. I want to know, can that happen?
How many astronauts do you think have actually done that, though? Like, do you think... Because obviously those ships are monitored with cameras... Like, do you think it's like, hey, for scientific purposes, me and Linda, we're about to get busy.
Dude, I think there's not much to do. I just think it happens. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just stuck in space. And then also, like, the risk, everything is heightened 1,000,000%. Like, it's like, there's a good chance I die. There's a good chance I don't make it back into...
Oh, come on. You think having sex would kill you in space?
No. No. Not the act of sex. I'm saying, like, just you're in space, like, to... Like,
oh, just like, in general. But, oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Back. Like, there's a chance your thing blows up. There's a chance, like... There's a chance there's a crack and you all run out of oxygen. Like, everything is just at such a
high level. Oh, so you mean that's what makes it sexier and hotter? Like, it is kind of, like, the danger of it makes it, like, oh.
Here's what I'm saying. I think in certain situations like that, right, when, like, the risk and everything is so high, I think normal societal norms kind of go out the window.
Here's a question, and we always kind of go down this avenue when we talk about anything. Life has always had its trial and errors. The first person to go into space, he was like, dude, I'm gonna go outside, get some fresh air. Do you think, like, hey, what? Rick looks like he's struggling out there. They're looking out the window like, what's going on with Rick?
Well, I believe what they what they did prior to sending humans up there to do all these tests and whatnot, there was Sputnik, right? I don't know if you know Sputnik. If you're familiar with Sputnik, it was a dog that they sent into space, and that dog did not come back.
Wait, hold on. Are you telling me that NASA sent out a dog named Sputnik to space?
I think it was a Russian. I think it was a Russian dog. I believe Sputnik was Russian. But no, they did. I mean, they were sending chimps. They were sent chimps into space. I believe they sent chimps into space. I think they sent, I know they sent dogs into space.
Listen, we're going to die one way or another. Do you think dying in space is a pretty sweet way to die?
I don't know, man. I think the whole, like, running out of oxygen thing would suck. I don't know. I don't think that's good.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
Wait. I'm going to read this to you. The first chimpanzee in space was in 1961, and its name was Ham.
Why is that so funny?
Well, you have to Google the picture of the chimpanzee. We have to show it on the screen. He's got a little helmet on, like a little like NASA. Is that a NASA helmet? And he's in like a cute little outfit.
God bless Ham.
Dude, Ham, I'm looking at these pictures of Ham. Ham's a good looking chimp.
He's a good looking chimp.
He's a handsome chimp. And what a great name. I just love this message from SaveTheChimps.com. Ham became our first hit chimpanzee in space. Save the Chimps honors Ham, his courage, and his unwilling sacrifice. I don't think Ham had a whole lot of say.
No, Ham did not have any say in it.
I appreciate it, Ham, but not sure you had a choice one way or the other, buddy.
Maybe he did know he went to space, and maybe he knew it was a big deal and came back all cocky. He got himself a beachfront house in Malibu, you know, threw poolside parties all the time, made like a lot of demands.
20 different lady chimps on the side, they're all fighting over him.
Eating all the best sandwiches.
Ugh. Chimps love sandwiches.
Okay, so I want to bring something up real quick.
Yes.
So, the other day I'm driving my boys, I picked him up from school, I was driving him home, and it was a nice sunny day out, and when I stopped at the intersection, there was a Harley parked right alongside me at the light, right? And I realized, it's called Harley Davidson, the company, right? But when you talk about riding your bike, when you ride your Harley, you say, I ride my Harley. I got a Harley. Come check out my Harley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that pisses Davidson off? Because it's clearly two men who started this company. He's like, why don't we call it the Davidson? Do you think Davidson is bitter about that?
I mean, I would be. Yes.
I mean, if this podcast was called The Skags and Crumb, and everyone was like, I'm going to go listen to The Skags,
I'd be devastated. Absolutely beside myself.
I would think so.
No one talks about Davidson.
Davidson, if I ever buy a Harley Davidson, I'm going to refer to it as my Davidson.
I love it. I think it's great.
I think it is great too. We got to pay Davidson some respect.
My God, I mean, it's absolutely awful. Oh, but it was loud. Did the kids like the idea of motorcycles? Does it scare them?
They don't. I don't think they acknowledge it yet. But my son is getting very into cars. Literally, like I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I put him down to bed. He goes to sleep. I go into the living room. I'm sitting there, maybe 10 minutes. Archie, my 5-year-old, comes out and just says, hey, Dad. I said, what are you doing up? I thought you were asleep. He goes, Dad, we need to get a Cadillac. I said, okay. And then he goes right back to sleep.
I mean, is he buying it? Is he?
That's what I said. I says, you better save up some allowance.
That's so interesting to me, but it is. Man, it is wild thinking about, like, growing up. We're, like, you know, growing up most of our adolescence, or at least the earlier part of our adolescence, not having access to the internet. Because, like, and now, like, your children having access to anytime they have a question or want to know anything, they can just go to something and search it. That is what the fact that there's not an abyss or not like you don't have to go to a person and ask or go to a catalog or any of that. It is It's wild, man. That is crazy.
Have you ever run into the scenario where you're like in a social setting and you'll ask a question that you could easily Google the answer to and somebody will tell you like, hey, just look it up. Have you ever just flat out said like, I kind of like living in the unknown about some things? Like, I kind of don't want to.
Well, I don't think my response has been that, but yeah, hell yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't want to be like.
But aren't you that way about some things? Like, I kind of like living in the unknown of not knowing where John Mayer went to college.
Yeah, of course. I mean, sometimes, sure. I don't think he went to college because I think that was the.
We'll never know.
That was part of the Room for Squares song. That was the. I want to run through the. Whatever my high school, I want to scream up. Top of my lungs, I just found out there's no such thing as a real world.
Wait, John Mayer has a song called I'm Not Going to College?
No, well, that was like his first hit on Room for Squares, I believe. You know, he was talking about there is no real world. It's all a sham. I don't think he went to college. I think he was a rock star. I think he was a freaking rock star. Come on, he's John Mayer.
That's true. It's crazy that man makes money off the little sausages on his hands, you know what I mean?
These little fingers. Man.
You think he has an insurance policy on his fingers?
Yes, I bet he does.
I bet he does, too.
I bet he
which
does.
Which is crazy to think about.
But also it's very practical. It actually does make sense.
Can you take an insurance policy out on almost anything?
I think you can. I think you have to find very specialized people. But if you're one of those top 1%, you're the best in the world of your thing, I definitely think that it exists. Yes.
I wonder what the weirdest insurance... I'm going to Google that right now.
A few moments later.
You are not going to believe this. JC, I'm blown away. Jennifer Lopez has an insurance policy on her butt. Guess how much that policy is?
$500,000?
$27 million.
On her rear?
Her butt, not her wiener.
No, her rear, not her wiener. Her rear.
I thought you said, yes, she has a $27 million policy on her butt. Heidi Klum has $2.2 million for her legs. American Ferrera has $10 million for her teeth. Ron Stewart has a $6 million insurance policy on his voice. Keith Richards has a $1.6 million policy for his middle finger. Dolly Parton has a $600,000 policy for her chest. Gene Simmons of Kiss has $1 million policy for his tongue.
But here's what I don't understand. Like, what that means, what? It gets damaged and you can say, well, I can no longer achieve my livelihood. So as such, you get paid out that? Is that how that works? If it gets...
I'm curious how J-Lo does this when her butt, you know, she's, you know, how does that work? How do you take an insurance policy on your butt? You age. It's sad.
I don't know. Like, your butt doesn't just fall off one day. It doesn't just, like, you don't lose it. Like, there's, like, what's the risk? Like, at what? But she's in some strange accident where her butt gets sawed off? I don't understand.
Hear me out. J-Lo might be a genius because let's say she starts going, you know, the career's not doing so hot. She's no longer married to Alex Rodriguez. She's desperate for money.
That's like six husbands ago, by the way.
She could. That's true. I mean, what happened if a samurai, she's like, pays a samurai to slice a booty cheek off. Boom. $22 million in the bank right there.
Wait, the scenario that you just cooked up is she pays a samurai to basically provide insurance fraud on her own butt?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Wow, man.
That's how you get it. I mean, hey, maybe she's onto something.
My goodness.
What do you think we could get ticket insurance policy out on? Like, do you think? I guess any insurance agency will take a policy out on anything, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe my eyebrows? I don't know. They're pretty mighty. I think if I lost one of these bad boys the rest of my life, what would I do?
This says you can get alien abduction insurance. That'd be kind of funny.
That would be good. But I don't understand. Then you get abducted and then you get paid out? Like, what is the line in the sand of, like, how you will get some sort of payment.
J-Lo butt insurance. That's crazy.
She performs arson on her own butt with the samurai that comes out and cuts off a cheek.
That means at some point, Jennifer Lopez was sitting at the dinner table one day and was like, oh my, these cheeks ain't protected. Like, somebody call my insurance agent.
She also, to your point, something probably happened where her butt flashed before her eyes. You know what I mean? It was a moment of, oh my God, I need to take action. You know, we've all had those moments of clarity or issues where
100%, yeah.
I need to have a savings account for my child, or I need to open up a will, or I need to, you know, do you have those, I need to stop drinking, whatever those things are. And hers happened to be, I need insurance policy for my rear.
Do you think there's an itemized, like, 11 for this butt cheek, 11 for this butt cheek? Like, it's like an itemized breakdown of, like, you know, what's covered, like, in what events.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, if it's a $27 million policy, it has to be a freaking phone book as far as, like, how many details are in the description, all these sorts of things, you know?
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Some sort of waxing accident happens, you know, who knows?
Do you think Ben Affleck found out the hard way? Like, he's, you know, sitting down at the table doing the bills one night. He's like, honey, what's up with this premium here? It says, butt insurance?
There's a lot of money going out the door on a month-to-month basis on this butt.
Listen, Jennifer, if we're going to do this butt insurance, I think we need to cancel Netflix.
Can we go to another provider to get a better rate?
Let's call Farmers. Let's see what their butt insurance policy is.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's crazy. That is very crazy. That is nuts. No, where I was going before, not nearly as interesting as that, was like, what wormholes have you been going down from a YouTube perspective? I have been going, this is how sad it is, I have been finding myself watching videos of video games that I played when I was like 6 years old. Because it's making me feel nostalgic, and I'll watch somebody play the game. It's weird.
I can kind of get that. I also go down Family Feud rabbit holes.
I do that a lot, too.
Steve Harvey is the best.
Steve Harvey is incredible. Also, Steve Harvey works a ton.
A lot. He's a very wealthy man.
He has like six jobs.
Like, that man's everywhere.
That man's mustache. My Lord.
Talk about insurance policy. But you know what? I think Steve Harvey's smarter than that. I don't think he would waste his money on that.
He does seem like he's a very... like, he seems like the kind of guy who would sit you down and be like, why would I put out a policy on my mother? He would give me some, like, very smart, old-school logic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, mm-hmm. you're right, Steve. Like, he's a very practical man. At least he paints the picture of himself. There is an irony to a person who claims to be so practical that has a ton of different really bright suits and stuff. So I'm not really sure how practically
he really does. Not own those suits. I can guarantee you he does not own those suits.
You don't think so?
No, God, no. The shows are paying for that. Conan O'Brien has talked about on his show, he didn't own those. NBC and Turner own those suits. He never owned them.
Yeah, but what can you do? Like, that's the other. That's also the silly thing is, like, once you, I mean, what, Conan's 6'4", isn't he? 6'3",
6'4"? He said.
How nobody can wear that suit ever again. It's his suit. Like, what are they going to do with the material?
He said that NBC will, like, let background extras wear those, like, in the Saturday Night Live. So if you see someone in Saturday Night Live as a background extra wearing, you know, a lengthy suit, chances Conan O'Brien had his legs in those pants at some point.
You know what I ended up hearing was SNL, you know, because I've been kind of going down this SNL rabbit hole with the 50th anniversary and whatnot. And I've always been enamored with Saturday Night Live. Like, my dream is to still, one of my life goals is to go to either a live taping of the show or the rehearsal. I really don't care which one. And to be honest with you, I actually think the rehearsal might be more interesting because the rehearsal, you get more sketches.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little looser, but you get, because they cut, I believe they cut 4 or 5 sketches,
I think you're right,
for the live show. Yeah. And so you're getting more action on the rehearsals. And me and you, being the weirdos that we are, some of the weirder sketches, I think, probably happen then, which is something I would probably love.
I think you're right.
But I heard something recently where SNL, you know, it is a very, very expensive show to produce. Very expensive.
Of course.
Well, you say that, but I don't know if I realized to the extent of what, like, so what I heard was it's $4 million an episode.
Yeah, because think about, like, I even saw the behind the scenes for the 50th about, like, the prosthetics. Prosthetics that they use,
yeah,
for like each. They're like, oh, we do at least like 50-some prosthetics, like hair, makeup, you know, eyes, nose, whatever. And like they have to turn that around fast, so they have to use high level equipment to like laser cut those and everything. Like it's, I believe it, dude.
Yeah, and you probably have some of the best of the best working on that show, you know, in Hollywood. So these are people that are probably pretty expensive. You know, you have has to be a world-class performing
set design.
The set design is amazing, but the performing area, because of the musicians that come through there, have to be great. You know, the cost of, you know, people coming to the security, all those sorts of things with a live show. And a live show that's under the microscope, like that show.
There's no room for error.
Yeah, yeah. It's gotta just be a very expensive endeavor. But at this point, it's sort of a national treasure. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, you know, everybody. I really hope as we kind of gravitate away from traditional television, and that happens more and more, that SNL can find, you know, footing and just
a
be
platform.
It just needs to be it's a cultural icon, and it's something that should be held up because it's interesting, and it always kind of takes a picture of where society is, United States society is at a particular time, and there's great actors and actresses that come through it, and I think everybody, you know, has an appreciation for it too. I think, you know,
I think as long as people watch it, it'll still be,
yeah.
Okay, so I want to do an exercise about SNL.
Okay.
On the cast, so Lorne Michaels is probably nearing the end of his time there, right?
Sure.
I want to do, on the count of three, who do you think will replace him? Because I think I have a clear picture of who I think will replace him.
Yeah.
I want to see if you have the same person, okay?
Yeah.
On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Tina Fey.
That's right. I was going to say Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be, right?
It'd be Tina Fey. Yeah, I think Tina would be excellent. I think Tina was a really, really good writer there. I think she's created, you know, she helped produce the Mean Girls Broadway show, I believe. So she's, you know,
she's produced a lot.
I mean, yeah, to your point, she's been producer on a lot. 30 Rock obviously was a huge hit. But I mean, as far as like live production combined with that, obviously she was behind the scenes for, I think she was probably head writer there for maybe a decade. Yeah, I think she also has the gravitas to be able to take that job and actually have,
I think you're right.
I think you need somebody who has a presence and that people will respect and not be pushed around. And I think that, yeah, I think she'd be excellent.
I think you're right.
So I just don't know if she'd want it. That's a lot of work. What else, man? Anything else while we wrap up here?
Yes, hold on.
Oh, you know what was, I don't want to talk about it. Never mind.
Okay.
One of the reasons I was late was there was my dog, he had an accident in the house and it was all over the place.
Dude.
All over, like on weird things. I'm like, how did this get here?
You know what? Well, so we've had our dog since November, and I can say Chip, he's a great dog, but I can say with confidence, and I am certain of this, I'm not a fan of dog diarrhea. Not a fan. It's not a thing I enjoy.
Let me ask you, does anybody come to you and go, you know what I like? Dog diarrhea. It's my favorite. I love it.
It's when your dog has diarrhea and does it in the house.
Oh,
it's horrible.
Oh my God.
It's not a thing you'd think about until it happens to you, and then you're like, you know what? Not a fan of this.
Can I have to tell a story. This reminds me of something. So
please tell me. Yeah, yeah.
I'm one of our friends' mothers. You remember this? One of our friends' mothers, who I love dearly, but she was a very interesting lady, a little crazy. We loved her, but a little crazy. And she had this really high-pitched voice, and she would tell you everything. Like, she's just one of these people that you would enter her house, and she would tell you everything she did that day, everything she ate, everything she thought. She was just one of these people. So
she's very nice and very sweet, but very open.
And also very, lived in a very, you know, affluent lifestyle, big, beautiful home. So one day we went over to the house and she said, oh, she was like very upset. And we were like, what's wrong? And she said, oh, no. Was it Pookie? Was the dog? Was it Pookie?
Pookie. Well, yeah. We got another story on that. But yes, the dog's name was Pookie.
It was Pookie. And Pookie was like a little Pomeranian, I believe. Pookie looked exactly like a Pookie should look. Like,
yes, it was a very Pookie-esque dog.
Pookie was what Pookie should be, which is like a little puffy dog, little Pomeranian. Well, she was very upset. And we're like, what's wrong? And she's like, oh, no, I gave Pookie a piece of beef jerky because Pookie loves beef jerky. And then Pookie did Hershey squirts all over my Persian rug. Oh! And she was like so upset, but like you're like it's also what she's telling you is so insane, and she's so intense, and she's like crying, and she has this ridiculous voice that you're like, I'm having a hard time not laughing in your face, and then I remember being like, well, why did you is this the first time you've given the dog beef jerky? Or and she'd be like, oh no, he loves beef jerky. It gives him bad stomach aches. I'm like, well then don't give him beef jerky. You knew what you were doing. Don't do that.
Beef jerky makes Pookie do the dookie.
But here's the thing, Will. If you had like a chart, or you had some sort of knowledge that somebody gave to you and they said, listen, if you feed your dog this, they're going to have diarrhea. Listen, I don't care how much the dog loves. I don't care if the dog was like, if the dog somehow learned to talk and it grabbed me and said, hey, you know what make me happy? The happiest dog in the world. Feed me that. I'd say no, because you're going to all over my house. Screw you. You dumb dog. I don't care that you learned how to talk and you physically assaulted me and threatened me. You're never eating that food.
Can I say my favorite thing about Pookie?
Yeah.
So Pookie was a very infamous dog, right?
Can we also say this too? Pookie was mean as hell.
No. Here's where I think you're getting mixed up.
Oh, okay.
So Pookie was a very beloved dog in this household. Everybody in this house loved Pookie. So much so that when Pookie died, they got another dog that was very similar to Pookie, and they named it Pookie 2.
Not a good move.
And Pookie 2 was not a good dog. Everyone hated Pookie 2.
Pookie 2, I think Pookie 2 like chased me into the bathroom at one point. Like Pookie 2 was this mean little...
Pookie 2 was not a good dog.
I remember, like, I think at one point, like, I came downstairs and, like, Pookie was like, I came downstairs late at night to get like something to eat or like something to drink at their house while I was spending the night. And I think like it was just at one point, like walking down the stairs, I think it was just me and Pookie. And I swear again, it was like a little tiny fluffy dog, and it just turned around and was like, I thought I was gonna die. I think I had to run away from a dog that was like biting at my ankles. It's awful.
That's what happens when you try to will the magic of Pookie into another dog and call it Pookie too. It's just not gonna happen. The gods aren't going to allow it.
When has an animal sequel ever worked when it's not a film?
Do you think anyone's ever named, well, I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess people do that with their kids.
Yeah. I'm a result of that. I'm a sequel.
That's right. You are a sequel.
My son is the Empire Strikes Back, dude. Or no, he's Return of the Jedi. I'm the Empire Strikes Back. He's Return of the Jedi. He's the third.
So does your son legally have a 3 at the end of his? That's crazy. So
is crazy.
Do you think, will you put pressure on your son to name his son?
No, I think 3's, I mean, he could keep it going, but at that point, if it ends with 3, I mean, it'd be cool, but if he wants to end it, he ends it, you know?
So is Trey, the name Trey, does that have something to do with 3?
Yeah, Trey means 3. Trey, you ever heard of, like, shoot the Trey?
Yeah,
he's the third. So that's what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pookie 2.
Pookie 2. God bless OG Pookie, though.
Yeah, OG
Pookie. May he rest in peace.
Sweet dog. Oh, everyone. Well, I think that is our episode for the week. We've done a good hour. I know we're not as sexy as James G, but...
No, but... I mean, why even shoot for that? You know, he'll never reach that level of coolness as James G.
I'm always just, you know... I'm trying to be as cool as
Brad Pitt. I mean, that's attainable.
Okay, Brad Pitt. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I agree. That's probably, you know, that's easy. That's easy. Not James G, but Brad Pitt for sure.
Nah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Please like, subscribe. Do that.
Dude, you don't want to subscribe. All it takes is this. Hey, watch this. Here's what it takes to subscribe. That's it. A little with your finger. Just subscribe. It's cool. It's fun. All the kids are doing it. And they're cool.
They are cool. They're the coolest.
And if you're feeling crazy, subscribe to both the listening platform and YouTube.
Yes, that'd be great. We'd love that.
There's no harm in it.
No harm. No harm at all.
All right. Well, everybody have a great week. Just keep being your sweet duty selves. And we'll see you next week.
See you later, duties. Bye. We'll be right back.